include that trope. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd read that.
Okay.
I don't think I don't think the characters are limited to that storyline.
Okay.
In that particular case, maybe I'd be like, no, they should always be enemies to lovers. But yeah, I would do that.
So when it comes to reading fan fiction, are you like, you're like in it for the characters and the dynamic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't just read enemies to lovers. I'll read just about, well, a lot of other tropes I'll read. Not mm-hmm. Let's not say just about everything, because I don't know what all's out there.
We've seen what else is out
there. We've read stuff. I don't delve too deep into some things. But, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not limiting myself.
No.
I'm open.
Mm-hmm. What are the other tropes that you're really into? Because off air, we talked about how you haven't done a sorter, like the fan fiction tropes, romantic tropes sorter. Yeah.
I have no idea what Leslie was talking about.
Oh, and you know what? I will also explain it to the listener.
Please
because,
do.
Yeah.
There's people like me out there that don't know.
Yeah. So an internet sorter essentially like brings things that people like. And you put them together and you compare them. And it asks you to pick, which one do you like more? So it could be like apples and oranges, and you pick oranges. Then it'll show you like bananas and strawberries, and then you pick strawberries. Then it'll show you strawberries and oranges, which were both the things that you liked, and you have to pick which one you enjoy more. And then it sorts it out into a list. And that's how it works. You can do it with a lot of things. You can find a lot of things. If you've ever had the guts, gall, and gumption to dive into like something as absurd as a 42-member J-pop group sorter, like some people have.
Mm. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Mm-hmm. Then you'll know what I mean. You spend half an hour mulling over it. But Brianne, you haven't done a fanfiction sorter or trope sorter.
No, never.
Though it exists.
I had no idea. Learn something new every day, right?
Mm-hmm. What do you think your other, like, what do you think your top five are?
Top five. Well, besides enemies to lovers, or are we including that one?
Besides
it?
So, like, all right. 2 to 4.
Okay.
Two to five.
two to five. All right. Well, I do like stuff that's like first meetings. Like if it's a different first meeting than whatever happens in canon in the original storyline.
Okay.
I enjoy those a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So again, leaning into the whole alternate universe thing. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it is something that's like fantasy or not in our current world. I'll totally go for it. I like blind dates, if they're going to be set up on a blind date or they're set up on speed dating. I read that a lot. Obviously, if we're talking about romantic fan fiction, that's where I'm going with this. What other ones are there? I mean,
well, about like non-romantic fan fiction.
I don't read that.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I've ever purposefully read that. I may have stumbled into it and not realized that's what I was going with.
Mm.
I want endings. I need things wrapped up.
But it doesn't, like, a non-romantic one doesn't necessarily have to be, like, an open-ended story.
It just doesn't intrigue me, usually.
Okay, so, like, it must involve romance. What if it's, like, side romance? What if it's not, like, the main...
Oh, thing. I'd probably go harder for the side romances or the ones that, like, they had one scene together and I build up a whole backstory thing in my brain, as does everyone else on the internet, thankfully.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, kind of like, if let's say, like, the story is, like, I don't know, like, the fan fiction is, like, a science fiction space western or something like that.
Okay.
And the focus isn't on the romance, but there is a little bit of, like, romance in there.
Then, yeah, I would probably read that. I mean, I can't think of any specific examples now. My brain has apparently lost all that. But yeah, I would read those.
There's just so much fan fiction in your brain already.
So much, yeah. So many tabs are open up here, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't remember everything.
Yeah, 4 million words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're going to move into some more music now. Let's get into it with more of Brianne's picks. This is Huddle by... Nope. This is called South Spit's Dam by Huddle. Get into it.
I need freedom. Young, sick, broke, yeah, I need. fight, war, breathe, wealth, rights, safe, sound, long nights, work, taxes, death, life, worth, law, age, fight, war, breathe, wealth, rights, safe, sound, long nights, work, taxes, death, life.
YSB by Nim Kish and Ascension here on Typically Tuesdays on C90.1 FM. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Brianne.
Anyways, last we left off, we were talking about fan fiction. Brianne and I are both enjoyers.
Participants.
I guess not really. Neither of us write fan fiction.
We don't write it. We just enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least I've never published any.
Yeah, I mean, if I've written it, it's up in my head. It's not actually been, like, put out on paper or a computer. I've had, you know, thoughts.
What are your thoughts about, like, how fan fiction... Let's actually get a little bit, like, analytical here.
Okay.
What are your thoughts about, like, how fan fiction is, like, often reduced and, like, kind of, like, ridiculed by people who, like, don't really get it?
Well, I disagree. I'm like, if you don't get it, it's not for you, or you should really look into it more so that you do understand it, because I think it's a really important, vital part of media consumption, I guess. I think it's a part of enjoying whatever that fandom might be. Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
Tell you more about that. Well, like me wanting to read fan fiction after a movie ends, like it's enjoying, I'm furthering my experience. I know people like really close, they find friends through fan fiction. Me being just a reader and not a writer, it's a different community, I guess. Yeah,
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Okay, I'm glad. I'm glad you're picking that up.
Definitely. Because I feel like, on that, like, kind of, like, community note thing, I remember, I won't even use myself as an example. Like, I know of, like, people who really enjoy reading and writing fan fiction because they're heavily involved in a fandom, and they often use fan fiction as like an avenue to like do like creative self-expression about like their gender or sexuality or that type of thing.
Yeah,
and that's how like they, you know, for like a lot of like younger queer people and even like queer people who are like maybe not like out or don't really have as many avenues to like express that part of themselves, or they just want to, you know, they're just like writing fan fiction. Like that's how they like, you know, get to feel like they're connected to other queers and like connected to allies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I get what you mean.
Mm. Rihanna's just looking at me.
I don't know. You summed it up really well. Like that you find that community, like you say, if you're not necessarily public about that part of yourself or not fully public about it, I guess, that it's another avenue to express yourself. It's just like any other sort of art form, right? People paint, people write poetry. This just happens to be inspired by other media.
Mm-hmm. I think also like if we're going to get a little bit like spicy.
Oh, spicy.
About it. Yeah. Some people, like, they use writing fan fiction as a way to, like, explore parts of their sexuality, like,
yep,
kink and that type of thing.
And it's, like, a safe place to do so.
Mm-hmm.
For many reasons. I mean, you can be anonymous about it, but you're not actually necessarily doing things yourself.
Yeah. allows you a place to like process certain mm-hmm. like things that what one might be interested in.
Yeah, and you can control for the most part how you interact with it and mm-hmm. how deep you want to go into something that you might be interested in. And if you don't like it, you can back away real quick.
Exactly. Wow. And fan fiction is so interesting, so fun. One of the other things that I like thought about while we were talking was, I am a weeb.
Yeah.
I feel like you don't really know what a weeb is.
I don't.
Like, okay, I like anime or whatever.
Right? Oh, yeah. So it's specifically an anime nerd?
Kind of.
Okay.
Not really. I'll get into it after the show. I'll explain more of it.
Okay, you explain in the car.
But, like in a lot of kind of like manga and anime like fandom, I guess one thing that people liked to do a lot was like create fan works. They're not even just fan fiction, it's not even just writing, mm-hmm. but it's also like comics, and like it can involve like fan animations and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that is not as heavily explored in the West. Like, there's some, not a whole lot.
Yeah, I don't think it's to the same extent. I've certainly seen comics and various fan art types of drawings in, you know, all kinds of forms, hand-drawn and computer stuff. And I know there's particularly with media that's visual as opposed to like a book, people put together like little video clips and they make stuff so awesome. I'm like, yeah, that relationship that wasn't really a relationship in the movie, I see it now because you put that clip together, and I'm like, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I feel like it's a different level of that kind of interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten into a thing? Like, have you ever gotten into a story or a television show or something like that based on a ship? So you saw, you read the fan fiction, mm-hmm. maybe you like saw some, like, I don't know, like AMVs or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wow, that relationship looks very interesting, maybe I should look more into it. And then suddenly you're into the thing that it's from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have done that many times, I would say, throughout like my teenage years into today, right? Like, I'm on YouTube a lot, usually my lunch break at work, and I watch various videos, and yeah, sometimes I go, wow, that couple or that movie that it came from, oh, that looks really good. And sometimes I'm really disappointed because I'll watch the movie and go, oh, so they weren't actually a couple. Like, it's almost like a downgrade now. I wish I hadn't done that to myself. But yeah, like a good example would be, shoot, it's a really long movie with, it's a historical movie.
Braveheart.
Not Braveheart. I haven't seen Braveheart. Not Dances with Wolves. The other one.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Not Lawrence of Arabia either.
Indiana Jones.
No, not Indiana Jones. Of course I've seen Indiana Jones.
Pride and Prejudice.
No, not Pride and Prejudice.
Actually looks it up.
I gotta look it up now. Oh, shoot. It's, does it have moccasin in the title?
I don't know.
Actually
looks it up. Yeah. I will.
Keep asking, keep talking.
I will talk about my own experiences.
Go.
That is how, through the ship of Byleth Edelgard, that is how I got into Fire Emblem Three Houses, the video game, and how I learned more about the Fire Emblem game franchise. Byleth and Edelgard are canon. They are real. The circumstances of which they become real is, you know, a little bit shaky and questionable. But the devotion, the love, if you, ladies, maybe you hear me as a fellow lady. If you ever want to have at one point a partner who is completely, totally enamored with you and calls you my light, and is like, I will do anything for you. I love you and I will die and kill for you. Get into Byleth and Edelgard, because Edelgard, she is that girl. She is obsessed with her wife. And in my opinion, it's her wife. You can choose Byleth's gender. For me, it's Byleth is wife.
Yeah.
To Edelgard. And then that also became like a deep spiral into the Fire Emblem Three Houses fandom for several months.
Yeah.
I
think I remember that period.
Yeah.
You told me a lot and I just kind of sat there and didn't absorb, but
let it bounce off of you.
Pretty much, yeah. I was like, just let it out. It's fine.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you find out
the movie? I did find the movie that I was thinking about. It's The Last of the Mohicans from 1992.
Okay.
I think there was a lot of videos that people made regarding some side characters and like a relationship that they could have had. I believe both characters die in the movie, so it's also one of those like they get a happily ever after in fan fiction. I read a really interesting hockey alternate universe
of them,
yeah, and the main couple as well. That's another thing. I think if we go back to that whole tropes conversation, I'm really into like hockey ones. Maybe it's because I'm Canadian. Maybe that's like the link in.
You think?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But yeah. So the whole like, if I watch something because of fan fiction or a fan works, yeah, I've definitely done that lots.
Okay.
There's even stuff that I've actually never watched the show, but I read lots of fan fiction about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to understand. You're totally removed.
Oh, totally, totally removed.
You
yeah.
just.
I've seen.
They're just two names to you.
Well, I've seen pictures. I've watched videos. I've seen like clips, but I've never watched like a full episode of a show. Let's say.
It could be completely extracted without context.
Yeah.
It's exactly, oh my god, this is so unhinged. Okay. It is exactly how people in like K-pop fandoms ship people.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will be like a popular pretty girl idol and then a popular pretty male idol.
Okay.
And they might be at like some event, like a red carpet event or something together.
Yeah.
And people will start to ship them and they will like Photoshop photos of them together.
Wild.
Yeah. That's
okay.
Brienne, that's what you're doing. And you don't get to say, oh, that's wild, because that's what you're doing.
Yeah, but at least I'm doing it with fictional characters. I mean, they're not real people.
I mean, honestly, with idols, it's like persona.
Okay, that's fair. It's kind of like an in-between stage.
It's like an onion. It's disgusting and it's layered.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. We are hitting the top of the hour here today on Typically Tuesdays. Thank you so much for tuning in. You only get one episode like this a year.
Yeah.
So I hope you enjoy.
Yeah. Enjoy my, not my presence, but my voice.
No, you're present. You're here.
Yeah, okay. We're here.
Are we?
I think so.
Together?
Last I checked, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. One quick PSA for you today. Vancouver Comic Arts Fest is happening, obviously, May 19th to 20th over at the Roundhouse. And it's free admission. If you heard my conversation with Jordana George earlier this month or last month, you'll know folks like them are tabling and they are showcasing their comics and their zines and their other incredible artwork. But I want to do a really quick plug of Van Calf's showing of the movie BL Metamorphosis, which is an adaptation of Kaori Tsuratani's manga of the same name, BL Metamorphosis. This is a story about a 75-year-old woman named Ichinoe who develops a friendship with a high school student named Urara because they both love the romantic fiction trope genre called boys' love, focusing on young men falling in love with each other. This is an incredible manga. I read it before. Tsuratani is, at this point, like one of my favorite writers in the world of manga, but BL Metamorphosis, the movie, came out a few years ago, and this very exciting opportunity where you can watch BL Metamorphosis for free beginning May 17th at 2:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It is here. You can go over to Vancouver Comic Arts Fest's Instagram page and social media to learn more. They are at Vancouver Comics. Just click through the link on their biography and learn more about this wonderful viewing opportunity. If you catch this movie, which you will, again, you'll be able to watch this movie beginning May 17th at 2:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and you'll have 54 hours to start watching. You'll have 24 hours to finish watching once you start. If you do catch this movie, send me a DM over on Instagram at Typically Tuesdays. I want to know all your thoughts about it. I will definitely be catching this as well, and I am so excited to watch BL Metamorphosis, and I'm so excited to see Kaori Tsuratani at Vancouver Comic Arts Fest. I hope you are as well. That's my PSA, and tune into more great CGSF programming by checking out Democracy Now! Every Monday to Friday from 11 to 12 with your host, Amy Goodman. Get engaged with what's happening around the world. Great source of your progressive news of the day. Go check it out. My name is Leslie.
I'm Brianne.
We're going to play a little bit of one last song today. Do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. I believe the song is pronounced Ukiuk. It's by the Jerry Cans, and I believe it's the ending credits song for the movie called The Grizzlies, which is...
Hockey.
Lacrosse.
Oh. This is Ukiuk by the Jerry Cans, and I will talk to you very soon. Say bye-bye, Brianne.
Bye-bye, Brianne.
Great.
I